when we first came into the UK, the UK happened to be our first base, and London was our first epicenter. And so when we actually came over here, we sought out to make sure that we had a territory that we can impress. We understood the influence and, you know, I really appreciate it from 1987 all the way up to 2016 that their following is still strong.
When you look at the size of the Etihad Stadium and you and the Stone Roses, you know, from sort of 8 o'clock tonight and entertaining all those people, and you're still having such a big impact now, and there's not many bands that do that, is there, over such a long time? And did you ever imagine at that time that it would last this long?
Yeah, we put our type of investment in there. We always try to outdo ourselves in every performance, and that's why I'm in the middle of that's why I'm in the middle of two tours and a super group coming in the fall. So I don't know, kind of like at 55, what I've gotten into. As soon as I walked in the stadium, my body started hurting because I know what it takes to rock it.
Screaming cakes are 20 years later. Of course, it does while consciousness faded. New generation believe in them fables.
Just talking about the Stone Roses, why do you think that your band managed to have such an impact on them, even though, like I say, you're from such different places and backgrounds? What was it about the message at the time, do you think, that managed to cut through with young men in Manchester?
Well, Manchester was always a different type of harder city, and I think when we sought out to play Manchester, we gave it our all and spoke to people across the board who understood that their beginnings were quite humble and never be afraid to speak out. I mean, it's all relative when you talk about around the world, you know. Hey, I'm from the United States. I'm from New York, and I'm influenced by the Beatles. So why would a black kid born in 1960 in New York City in the United States be influenced by, you know, four guys from Liverpool? Go figure, right?
Why was it?
It's just because music is universal. Music is it goes beyond us human beings. So it's up to us musicians just to catch up to the song.
Why can massive gatherings like the ones that will be taking place tonight and throughout this week at the stadium, why can they be such a good thing, do you think? You know, for people to come together.
Music is universal and the rock out is rocking out. So not everybody's going to be on the same page, but the musicians are all on the same page and trying to give it all they got and be able to take a person into a higher realm, you know, with their spirit and soul and their ears and maybe their bodies and get them in accordance of each other. If you don't do it, government usually does something like that. It's called wars when they want to assemble people. But music does a better job of bringing people together and people going home with a good time.
Check it out. Yeah, yo, come on. Here we go again. Bring the noise.
Can I ask you about the supergroup as well? Did you say there's a supergroup in the autumn?
Yeah, it's myself, Tom Morello, Tim Comerford, and Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine, Be Real from Cypress Hill, and DJ Lord also from Public Enemy. So the six of us have a Prophets of Rage, and it's creating a fury everywhere. We're going to record when I get back a few songs, and we're already going to do some things that's politically with the United States voting situation, with the political climate, and we're going to musically set the world on its ear.
This show no fear.